Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible and really allow yourself to live a vital, healthy, truly, truly joyful life. And I have a few announcements before we get going. First of all, I have a new website, so I'd like to encourage everyone to go to my new website, which is Dr. Cheryl, and it's drcherylselman.com, and I'm going to spell it just in case you don't know, because it's a little unusual spelling. It's S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L, Selman with two L's, S-E-L-L-M-A-N, so it's S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L. L-L-S-E-L-L-M-A-N, Dr. Cheryl Selman. So go to that new website because there are a lot of new things that are going to be happening through that website. I'm really excited. It's been a long time coming, and I'm still refining it, but at least it's up and running, which is great. And always the Facebook page where you can get the shows, and if you go to Dr. Cheryl Selman, Dr. Cheryl Selman, and opt in there, of course, you'll be getting my shows. If you've already opted in to What Women Must Know, my old website, you'll still get the shows sent to you and all the other information. But I'm trying to move everyone over to my new website. And What Women Must Know is still the Facebook page. So go there, listen to the shows, and lots of other additional information that I post up on my Facebook page. And the other announcement is that I have another show, a brand new show that is appearing, starting right away on this network, Thursdays at 6 p.m. So you have me at 4 Eastern time, and then you're going to have me at 6. But this is a really special show I'm doing. It's just launching. It's called The Love Code. And it's a unique program because we're going to be experiencing, not just learning, but experiencing the power of the field. Quantum science and ancient wisdoms are merging and presenting a way that we can access a level of healing and transformation in our lives that really has never been possible before. So this is a show teaching with the expertise of many people in the areas of science, talking about this new paradigm of science, quantum science, how we understand the quantum field, bringing in spiritual masters who are going to be talking about the ancient wisdom and how ancient wisdom is understanding how we have the power beyond space and time to heal and transform our lives. And the really exciting thing about this program, well, there's two more exciting things about this program. I'm going to be having guests on the show who've experienced the miracles of healing. Miracles of healing, seemingly impossible things. People who have been healed of paralysis. People who have been healed of cancers. People who have been healed of chronic pain through working with simple spiritual technologies. And we're going to be offering this on the show, teaching people how to do this. And then people are going to be able to come back and share the healing miracles that they are experiencing through applying what we're going to be sharing and teaching on this program. So it's a really phenomenal opportunity for people to not only learn about the possibilities that exist for us to heal and transform our lives, but actually experience it in our personal dimension. So I hope you will all be tuning in to the Love Code Thursday, 6 p.m. And of course, all of these shows will be sent to you and they are all archived, so you can listen to them when it's convenient, but you don't want to miss out on both my shows. The show, What Women Must Know, and that new show, The Love Code. So hope you'll be joining me there. So having said all that, I'm really excited because I have a very wonderful guest coming to us all the way from Christchurch, New Zealand. And we're going to be talking to Laura Bryden, who's a naturopathic doctor. She's the author of a fantastic book called Period Repair Manual, Natural Treatments for Better Hormones and Better Periods. And today's show is all about learning natural solutions for restoring healthy menstrual cycles. And let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Bryden. She is a naturopathic doctor and the period revolutionary leading the change to better periods. Informed by a strong science background and more than 20 years with patients, Lara is a passionate communicator about women's health and alternatives to hormonal birth control. Her book, Period Repair Manual, is a manifesto of natural treatment for better hormones and better periods and provides practical solutions using nutrition, supplements, and natural hormones. Now in its second edition, the book has been an underground sensation and has worked to quietly change the lives of tens of thousands of women. So this is such a wonderful show because we're going to be giving you effective, proven solutions, and Dr. Lara Bryden is such an expert and a passionate supporter of women's health and well-being. So all the way from New Zealand, I'd like to welcome Dr. Lara Bryden with us. Hello, Lara.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so pleased that you are available and here with us all the way from down under there. And your book is fantastic, Lara. I just really want to acknowledge you and compliment you on a really comprehensive book that goes into, you know, so many of the issues that women are dealing with and providing an understanding of what's happening in our body. And most importantly, the safe and effective and natural solutions. And I want to say that I don't know if you're aware of my background, my books, but I had a best-selling book in Australia and in the States, and it's probably made its way over to New Zealand, called Hormone Heresy, What Women Must Know About Their Hormones. And that book's now in its seventh printing. But that really was my passion and still is my passion. It's about empowering women with the truthful information to get their bodies healthy and back on track. And I have there's a big chapter in that book that really talks about the dangers of hormonal birth control and, well, of hormone replacement therapy in general. So I've really been a critic of all the ways that medical science has addressed women's needs and offering, you know, safer and effective solutions to really heal the body, not just suppress symptoms, but heal. So I love what you're doing. I really honor and respect your work and the importance of getting women to really embrace their bodies, their cycles, and to bring all of their being back into balance again. So thank you for the great work and passion you have for your mission.
Yes, I know your book, of course. I know you are the hormone heretic. I remember that from years ago, and it is a similar message. We're trying to overthrow this false narrative that hormonal birth control and conventional hormone replacement is somehow good enough for women's health when clearly it's not. Clearly, that is not the way our body works. You know, those drugs are not friendly to human physiology.
So I always like to ask, I'm always curious how you took on this passion, this purpose, this mission in your life.
Yeah, great question. I started out in general practice, just treating all kinds of, you know, conditions and working a lot with men as well. And just over the years, as I'm sure maybe happened to you is that I just started seeing more and more women dealing with period issues and hormonal issues when they were not getting any answers from conventional medicine. And I just came to learn that the skills that we have as naturopathic doctors work incredibly well for those conditions. And just over the 2 decades that I was in practice, I became more and more focused on helping women with periods. And then I finally decided to put that into a book and try to help women all over the world.
You know, women's hormonal issues are, you know, it's a huge issue. You know, you probably have the statistics with you. I don't really have them now, but women who are suffering from PMS, from infertility, the number of women who are on the birth control pill, the number of women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome and endometriosis and ovarian cysts and fibroids. I mean, if you really start looking at the statistics, it's the vast majority of women these days. And this is not normal, nor is it natural.
No. And actually, one of my biggest concerns, I just want to flag that near the beginning, is the current trend putting young girls, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls, on the pill at that age to deal with perhaps skin or period pain or, you know, things, fairly minor symptoms that we know can respond to diet and nutrition. And instead, they're being put on these drugs and their hormonal system shut down. And I would argue that that actually potentially sets them up for worse problems later in their life. So I suspect, even though a lot of these problems of PCOS and hormonal conditions are common now, I think we're going to see even more of it in the future, in part because of the widespread use of hormonal birth control.
Well, then let's just jump right in, because I'm so concerned about how blasé we are about prescribing the pill and taking the pill. And like you said, I mean, I've met girls as young as 12 whose parents thought they were doing the right thing by putting their daughters on the pill at the age of 12. Let's start at the beginning. So let's start about, what is birth control? You know, what is it? What's it made from? What's it doing in the body? And then we can look at the consequences. And then we'll look at solutions.
Great. So one thing to say is that I no longer use the word hormone to refer to those drugs. I mean, they have hormonal actions, but at the end of the day, they are more accurately called contraceptive drugs. They're not the same molecules as estrogen and progesterone. Instead, they have names like levonorgestrel and drosperinone. And because they're not actually hormones, they, of course, have side effects in the body. And Their primary way of working is to shut down the hormonal system completely, so to shut down our own production of hormones and then come in as sort of a kind of substandard hormone replacement therapy, essentially, that we're giving to young women. And we know, like, some of the differences between real progesterone or hormone progesterone and a progestin drug like levonorgestrel, for example, is that its effect on the brain. So progesterone is very good for the brain. Yet there's some evidence that levonorgestrel changes the shape of the brain. It possibly induces depression and anxiety, which is why there was that big study at the end of 2016 where they were able to identify that women and girls in particular who use hormonal birth control have a greater risk of anxiety and depression. And I think that's all the side effects, to me, that's one of the most devastating ones, is what it does to women's mood.
So Laura, can you explain to us what goes on when, let's talk about a healthy menstrual cycle, what occurs, and then what happens when you are on the contraceptive
the contraceptive drug.
Contraceptive drug, and I like that because they are drugs. They're pharmaceutical drugs, and they're very potent. And, you know, by the way, they also are carcinogenic, so we'll talk about that too. So what happens? This is a really important issue, because I have met so many women who, when I ask the question, you know, who's getting a menstrual cycle, and these women, you know, put their hands up, and then they tell me they've been on the pill for 20 years. And I went, you know, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you haven't had a menstrual cycle for 20 years. And I didn't know that.
Yeah. Bingo. You just said it. You know, pill bleeds are not menstrual cycles. So, yeah, your suggestion to let's start by describing what a menstrual cycle is the perfect place to begin. A menstrual cycle is all about ovulation. That's the main event of a cycle. That's what determines the timing of a cycle. So your listeners probably know ovulation is the release of an egg from the ovary, and they probably know that that's important for making a baby. But under the current narrative, this false narrative that we're operating under, we have this idea that that's its only purpose, when in actual fact, ovulation is also how women make hormones, how we make estrogen and progesterone that we need for general health. And that is equally important. Those hormones are equally important to our general health as, say, testosterone is to men's general health. So to say that ovulation is not important except for making a baby would be like saying to men, testosterone is not important except for making a baby. That's how we've been treating women for the last 60 years. We've decided it's okay to just shut down this primary event, hormonal event of every cycle. So In answer to the question, you know, how, what does a menstrual cycle look like? It's, you know, 2 to 3 weeks lead up to ovulation as the ovary is producing more and more estrogen, getting ready for ovulation. Then ovulation, then and only then the making of a hormone called progesterone, which is very important for health. And then 2 weeks after the ovulation and the making of progesterone, that signals the end of the menstrual cycle. That's how it works. And any other, and that's what induces a bleed in a normal menstrual cycle. Any other kind of bleeding, whether it's a pill-induced bleed or what's called an ovulatory cycle, which can happen with PCOS, for example, is just this sort of erratic breakthrough bleeding once in a while. Those are not actually cycles or true periods in the truest sense.
Yes, because when you shut the system down, I mean, the way I like to say it is you're taking your menstrual cycle offline. That's offline.
Yeah.
And now you're controlled by these pharmaceutical drugs that are not the
yeah.
same as your normal hormonal, your hormones or your normal cycles. And they are much more potent than what you normally would be making. In fact, I mean, you know, the birth control pill has more synthetic hormones in it than you'd find in hormone replacement therapy that women are taking. I mean, it's really high levels of these synthetic hormones that are wreaking havoc, actually, to a woman's health. And it's not understood. It's not understood at all. We, like I said, we're so flippant about taking the pill for everything. And, you know, I was horrified. This is maybe 20 years ago now when I wrote about this and certainly added a chapter to my book about it, when they first of all started prescribing the pill for women who just, you know, were tired of having messy periods, or it interfered with their holidays or their camps. Times, so, you know, so let's just shut it off. And then it progressed to, well, you don't really even need a menstrual cycle at all unless you want to get pregnant. And so you can just permanently suspend your menstrual cycles and not have to worry about the inconvenience of having a monthly bleed, which just horrified me. It's like shutting off your connection to your soul. Because our hormones mm-hmm. and our hormones and how they express and how they are such a part of who we are and how they impact every aspect of ourselves is an expression of the soul essence of who we are as women. And when we shut down the natural flow and rhythms, and we are cyclic beings, shut it all down, we are disconnecting from our soul. We're connecting from ourselves. And that is a huge story right there.
Yeah. Actually, with many of my patients and readers, as soon as I make the point that the pill induces a kind of chemical menopause and then is really just acting as really like a type of synthetic hormone replacement that is not even as good as the hormone replacement that they give to menopausal women, then that, for many women, that's a deal breaker. Like the young women out there, the youngest generation now, and they're finding out some of this information that these are not, pill bleeds are not real periods, these contraceptive drugs are not real hormones, that the pill, all types of hormonal birth control actually work by inducing a kind of chemical menopause. That's, for many of them, that's a deal breaker. You know, they're at a point where, yeah, women are ready to reclaim their own hormones. And as you say, the way those hormones influence our vitality, our creativity, are everything. It's not just about making babies.
Right. So there's a lot more, you know, I'd like to talk to you about that. But before we get there, let's go back to what are the consequences when you take these contraceptive drugs and the different varieties that they come in now. Well, what are some of the physiological ramifications when you put these drugs in your body?
Yeah, well, one of the drugs, that's one of the main progestins that's used, is a drug called levonorgestrel. It is derived from testosterone, so it is actually more similar as a molecule to testosterone than it is to progesterone, even though it's sometimes called progesterone in the media or by the doctor, which is bizarre. But it actually, because it has testosterone-like effects, it can cause hair loss, often hair loss that comes on slowly and then progresses and can be irreversible. It can cause skin breakouts or acne, which is, you know, quite distressing. And in the bigger picture, as we said, those drugs shut down ovulation. So at the same time that they're providing the side effects, the drug side effects, they're also robbing the body of its own hormones. And back to the topic of young girls, one of the reasons it's quite concerning that we're routinely shutting down their hormonal systems with birth control is that it actually takes a girl 12 years to mature her hormonal system, to mature the communication between her brain and her ovaries. So in a way, it takes her body 12 years to learn to fully ovulate and make enough progesterone and, you know, optimize her hormones. And so if we come in at a young age and shut that all down, then she that maturation process is paused, and she will have to begin that again once she stops the pill, which, and what that can translate into is problems with fertility when coming off the pill. I was just reading some statistics about that. I think that the current conclusion of science is that it can take up to 18 months to start to ovulate again and have full fertility after stopping the pill. I would say it can be even longer for someone who started it at a young age. And it makes sense, right? Because the body has to pick up where it left off, try to figure out how to do this thing called ovulation again, or possibly for the first time in a woman's life. So, yeah.
You know, I'd like to go even further than that, Laura. I think the pill increases the incidence of infertility. And I found a quote which I put into Hormone Heresy because it was such a staggering comment. And it was by a billionaire, and he made his fortune by creating fertility drugs. And he said his best customers are women in their 30s who took the pill as teenagers and 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
So when you put your system offline, combined with major nutritional depletions that occur from taking the pill, all the vitamins, minerals, you alter your gut microbiome, you're altering everything. You potentially have a system that is so compromised and so deficient that it's really difficult to get this very delicate process of ovulation back online again, which is why we have such a high incidence of infertility right now.
It's a big part of it, I think. And just think about it from, I mean, not to overstate it, but think about it from the perspective of the pharmaceutical companies. This is perfect for them. Basically, the women's health narrative right now is that, okay, women take the pill until they're ready for a baby, and then they pretty much go straight over into taking fertility drugs. So, you know, some women who can fortunately come off the pill and manage to become pregnant, but you're right, a lot of them can't. And it's because of the hormonal shutdown. It's also because, interesting research I saw is that hormonal birth control thins the uterine lining while you're taking it, of course, but even after it, that can have some long-standing effects where the uterine lining is not able to build up to the thickness that is needed to carry a baby.
Yeah, so scary when you begin to really pull the covers back on this whole issue, which no one really is thinking about. You know, when women, you know, are wanting a contraceptive, they're in a relationship, you know, the first thing they do is go for the pill, but it's never communicated just what that means and the potential impact on your health and future fertility and increased risk of some serious conditions like breast cancer. You know, I just want to say my follow-up book to Hormone Heresy was a book that was all about women, mothers protect their daughters from breast cancer. And that was the name of the book.
Yeah.
And I wrote that book because as I traveled around lecturing on the topics we're talking about today, hormones and all the consequences from the contraceptive pill, from the, you know, from everything, I was encountering young women being diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, we're talking 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
It horrified me. It horrified me. And, and many of them had started taking the pill much earlier in their lives and believe it did contribute or cause their breast cancer.
Well, the evidence is pretty clear now that all types of hormonal birth control increase the risk of breast cancer, not just the high estrogen types, but we actually know now that the progestin-only types also increase the risk of breast cancer. And the interesting point about that is that progesterone, the actual hormone progesterone, helps to prevent breast cancer. So that's another difference between progesterone and these drugs, progestin drugs. They have an opposite effect on breast cancer. So progestin drugs promote the growth of breast cancer. Progesterone calms down or prevents the growth of breast cancer. And the other, just before we leave the topic of, side effects, because the other thing is we know that all types of hormonal birth control shrink the ovaries by about 50%, and they shrink the clitoris, which, again, for many of the young women I talked to, that's kind of a deal breaker as well. I think if young women were told that, taking these drugs would potentially shrink their clitoris by 50% and reduce their sexual pleasure, that might be a reason to not take it, especially when your whole reason for taking it is because you're in a relationship.
I didn't realize that. It actually shrinks the clitoris. Wow. That's huge.
I know.
If you told a man that if you had a male birth control pill, it would stop you from, having to worry about, impregnating women, but it would shrink your penis.
I know.
It's like how many hands would go up,
Exactly.
So so interesting. So the other thing that comes to mind when I'm, kind of reviewing all the side effects that I once knew really well, but how it alters our pheromones and our sense of smell and who we're attracted to. Do you have some research on that?
Yeah, now there are some studies out on that it potentially alters who we choose as a partner and who chooses us. And I don't know all the current stats, but I mean, that's kind of a disturbing possibility because it means the potential scenario is that a woman chooses a partner while she's on the pill and then eventually comes off the pill and suddenly is less attracted to her partner or him to her. It actually is, there are some certainly anecdotes about that. It's a sort of disturbing possibility. So I guess the general advice is you should probably choose your partner when you're not on the pill. And then,
I think they were saying that because it alters your ability to sense pheromones, you make worse choices.
Well, it alters the ability to sense pheromones and also the pheromones that you emit. So it's both.
So that's really good piece of advice. Don't agree. Get into any relationship.
Yeah, don't say yes. Don't say I do.
We really don't think about the tremendous ramifications when we're altering our hormones. And we're altering the major communication system to every organ in our body, every function in our body. It alters how we think, how we feel, our moods. We are, and to me, the biggest revelation that I had when I was doing this initial research and learning more about my body, because I didn't really know much about my body, and I think I'm probably a good sample of the entire population of women. We just don't know very much about our bodies. We've never been taught a lot, and even when we have been taught about it, it's probably not as accurate or up to date as the knowledge that we have now. So it was a big learning curve for me. I realized how ignorant I was. And it was a shock to me how little I actually understood my own body and physiology and how much honoring our cycles, paying attention to how much our menstrual cycles really affect our sense of self and our inner power and our sense of inner authority and accessing the true connection to who we are is very much tied into these flow of hormones. And when we disconnect from these hormonal flows, which is what happens, as we've been talking about, when you're on a contraceptive pill, what happens is that we really get disconnected from our power as women. And that, to me, was such a revelation. And when I started to really follow my menstrual cycle and pay attention to it, what was happening each time of the month, I really found for the first time a sense of real inner connection with myself. I felt a strength and a power and a solidness about who I was that I never really had before.
Yeah. No, that's great. I've heard so many quotes from some of my readers and patients, things like when they stopped the pill, they came back to themselves, or they woke up, or this, you know, this feeling of this quite a deep shift in mood. And as you say, just sort of this feeling of being present in your own body.
So, you know, that's so important, because our power as women come from that connection to our hormonal flows throughout the month. There are times of the month when we're much more sensitive and inward in our luteal phase, where we have access to more, you know, intuitive information, creativity. All of these things change when we're on the pill. You know, it's like everything is taken offline. When we become, I mean, I'm using this, it's a bit of a metaphor, but like artificial women, you know, because we're no longer connected to rhythms of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that's happened is because we've accepted that it's normal to put most women into a state of chemical menopause, you know, a drug-induced menopause, there hasn't been research into women's hormones the way there should have been. Like we have a little bit. We know some of the physiological benefits of both estrogen and progesterone, but I would argue that hasn't happened as much as it should have, you know, over the last 50 or 60 years when, you know, we thought it was okay to shut that all down.
So let's talk about some of the solutions, because women who opt for the pill often have, you know, issues going on. They have endometriosis, they have ovarian cysts, they have polycystic ovarian syndrome. They've got, I mean, there are conditions going on that require some attention to their hormones. I mean, that's the way the medical model sees it. Of course, we see it as symptoms of imbalances that need to be addressed physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. This, your body's giving you a message. So what are the top suggestions you have for women who are experiencing hormonal imbalances? And do we need to go through different conditions, or do we kind of have a general guideline for most issues?
Well, no, I think we have to do a little bit condition by condition, but we can be try to be concise. Let's begin with endometriosis, because that's perhaps one of the more, you know, troubling or difficult conditions that's out there. It's the interesting thing about it is, although the pill is sometimes used as a way to try to control the pain, it actually doesn't work that well. So I guess we should say for your listeners that endometriosis is an inflammatory disease of the pelvis that can cause quite severe pain and other symptoms associated with periods. And the answer to the sort of the what to do is kind of in the description that I just gave you, because it's primarily an inflammatory disease, possibly an immune disease, and it's only affected by hormones. It's not caused by hormones. So my approach with that condition is to first try to identify that that's what's going on, and then look to address the underlying inflammation. And then women find that they don't actually require the hormonal suppression from the pill that was not working very well anyway. So certain, you know, there's different things with diet. I talk about a dairy-free diet. I talk about using a couple of nutritional supplements that have been clinically trialed for endometriosis and have done well. That's in Chapter 9 of Period Repair Manual. And then PCOS is a different condition as well. So it's a full-body hormonal condition. It's actually not a condition of the ovaries, despite the name of polycystic ovary syndrome. It's a full-body hormonal condition, and it is Although some of the symptoms of excess male hormone associated with PCOS can be masked by the pill, it is definitely, the condition is not helped by the pill. That's one of the conditions where actually the condition is made worse by hormonal birth control. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone accepts that now. The pill worsens the insulin, what's called insulin resistance. That is a big part of the driving force of that hormonal condition. And so it's a situation where it's not just that the pill doesn't work very well, it's actually taking the pill over time worsen the condition. So I almost feel like the pill is never a solution for PCOS. It sometimes can help with endometriosis, but for PCOS, I encourage women to look further, look at diet and a nutritional supplement called inositol, which can work incredibly well, actually. So those are two of the big ones.
So wait, before you go. So polycystic ovarian syndrome is caused by what? What is it?
If it's not
focused just on all
the ovaries,
the ovary making lots and lots of follicles, but never really dissolving them, so they kind of keep stacking up unlike the natural cycle where every month your ovaries start to prepare one fertilized egg, and so they begin to mature these little egg sacs. And when that ovulation happens and that one egg is released, the others tend to be absorbed. But with polycystic issues, they never absorb. So the cycle is incomplete.
Yeah, although the truth is the problem with seeing it kind of that way is that puts a lot of the emphasis on the follicles that are present in the ovary, and in actual fact, they don't even have to be there for the condition to be present. In a way, you could think of the growing number of eggs in the ovaries as just a downstream effect that sometimes happens with PCOS. It's more of a full body, probably a lot to do with the communication between the brain and the entire hormonal system and the way testosterone is produced in the body from the ovaries, in the fat cells, in the adrenal glands. So it's a condition of excess testosterone primarily, and the polycystic ovary may or may not even be there, which is why a lot of the experts are calling for a new name to the condition, because the name implies that it's primarily about those follicles. And it's not. It's actually, I've written quite extensively on PCOS, both in Chapter 7 of Period Repair Manual, and I've done quite a few blog posts about it, trying to demystify it a little bit and make the point that it's actually a somewhat problematic diagnosis, in that the same diagnosis of PCOS is given to women in lots of different situations. You know, some women who have insulin resistance causing their excess male hormones, some women who are just in a temporary post-pill state causing their excess male hormones. And then unfortunately, they're all kind of given the same name, the same diagnosis, and then, you know, they're looking for a one-size-fits-all treatment, and that will never happen because it's not one thing. That's my current approach to PCOS. It's common. I mean, PCOS affects at least 1 in 10 women, probably more. So chances are a number of your listeners either have PCOS or used to have PCOS or have no friends who has PCOS. I would just encourage everyone to do check out my discussion of it in Period Repair Manual, which is quite, you know, up to date with some of the, some of the nuances of the condition that have recently been discussed, mainly that in the new PCOS guidelines that came out last year, they discourage the use of ultrasound as diagnosing the condition, especially in young women, because it's normal for young women to have a lot of ovarian follicles because they're younger, so they have more eggs. And so that's why seeing, polycystic ovaries on ultrasound can be quite misleading. Young women can have polycystic ovaries when they don't have PCOS at all, when they're actually possibly just have lost their periods due to undereating or other causes. So, it's about
the classic symptoms of polycystic ovarian syndrome, so people can maybe identify who weren't aware?
Exactly, because a lot of people have it and don't realize. So the classic symptom is some evidence of male hormone, whether that's high male hormone on a blood test or the most clear symptom is pronounced facial hair that is quite coarse, not just a little bit of hair on the upper lip or something like that, but coarse hairs on the chin, maybe on the chest, around the nipples, on the lower belly. Those are associated with PCOS or other androgen conditions, other male hormone conditions. And then the second symptom is irregular ovulation or no ovulation. So in the truest form of the condition, women might have only a few periods, a few bleeds per year, and they're not ovulatory cycles. They're not a proper menstrual cycle like we described at the beginning, where ovulation happens and then 2 weeks later there's a period. That's not happening. They're just getting this kind of random breakthrough bleeding. Because the ovaries, under the presence of the excess testosterone and the kind of weird signaling from the brain, they're not able to complete that progress to ovulation.
Okay.
And that, yeah, okay. that can happen even if that can happen and the ovaries still look normal, which is the other thing. Normal looking ovaries on ultrasound doesn't rule out the condition.
And that's often when they put women on metformin too, which is a
yes
diabetes drug for insulin resistance.
Yeah. Because pre-diabetes or insulin resistance can be present with PCOS, but not always. I know, I hope, I'm sure your listeners are a little bit confused now. I do realize, put it this way, let me say this. If you're sitting out there listening to this podcast and you're thinking, okay, now I'm confused about PCOS, you're not alone. You know, those researchers and the doctors and everyone is kind of confused about it. We actually need a sort of back to the drawing board approach with that condition. But if nothing else, you know, I hope it's at least sparked a few questions. People now might be thinking, oh, maybe I do have PCOS or maybe I don't. Or also knowing that if they were put on the pill for irregular periods years ago, they might have had PCOS way back then and no one even told them. And they still have it. It's actually getting worse and worse on the pill. So when they finally stop, they could have, you know, seriously full-blown PCOS. And yeah, for the first time.
So, I mean, it's a good place to just encourage people to go to your website, which is Lara, L-A-R-A, Bryden, B-R-I-D-E-N.com, because you have lots
yep.
of great posts up there. So it's a great place to start getting education about all these issues we're talking about. And is your book available on Amazon? What's the best place for people to pick up your book, Period Repair Manual?
Yep. It's on Amazon, Kindle, iTunes. It's in certainly some bookstores carry it now. It's pretty easy to find.
You know, this is, I mean, it's such a comprehensive book. I think it's a Bible that women should have, women for themselves, women for their daughters, for their granddaughters, because it's about getting empowered. This is all part of restoring the power of the feminine. You know, we're moving into an age where that feminine energy is returning, and it's, in all traditions talk about this age, it's changed what's happening. And when we can reconnect with the feminine, we're reconnecting with the energies, the values, the frequencies that honor life and honor the earth and, you know, honor each other. We work more communally and supportive and loving. Women innately are more from their hearts, their emotional centers. And the pill just disconnects. It unplugs us from that. We become more, I'm speaking from my own experience, when I was not in real hormonal balance, and I have to say I never really took the pill. I think I took the pill at 16 because I was late in getting my menstrual cycle, so my doctor thought I was getting the regular cycle, so they needed to put me on the pill. And I just have a vague memory of being put on the pill for irregular cycles, which to me is the most insane thing you could ever do for a woman who has irregular cycles. I mean, you're depriving the body of vitamin C, vitamin E, magnesium, zinc, selenium, B6, B12, and the list goes on and on. How can it ever get you healthy and balanced again, you know? So I wasn't on it for very long, but I always had PMS and hormonal issues. And it wasn't until I really started to pay attention to my menstrual cycles, start tracking them, noticing the signs, the symptoms, getting in harmony and rhythm again with those cycles, when the energy is most outward, when the energy of the month is most inward, that everything changed for me. and my cycles changed, but my psyche changed. And that is really the message that I am doing my best to impart to women. It's our power comes from our cycles. And that's, you know, kind of, you know that, I know that, and people who are into this, not that most people, most women, we think the pill has saved us. The pill hasn't saved us. The pill actually has disconnected us from ourselves and our power, and therefore our spiritual wisdom in very deep and profound ways.
Yeah, it's so well said. And just to follow up on, just to respond to what you said about giving the pill for irregular cycles, just think about that for a minute. That is what they're actually doing, is looking at the problem of lack of ovulation, because ovulation is how you have a period. They're looking at the problem of lack of ovulation, and they're giving a drug that suppresses ovulation to somehow fix it. When you think of it that way, it's really an emperor's new clothes situation. This is like, this never made sense. You know, it's just time to do it all differently. And one of my key messages is that women respond. You know, it is not that hard to have a symptomless regular period. I know it can feel quite daunting, especially to any listeners who have had problems, haven't been able to ovulate, or have had pain or different symptoms. But my experience with thousands of patients over the years, plus now tens of thousands of readers, is that most women can get there. You know, it's not rocket science. Women's bodies are not complicated or mysterious or difficult in any way. Our bodies work, I would argue, in kind of a logical way. And especially if you can honor what the body's trying to do and its own wisdom, it wants to have healthy regular periods. It can do that with the right support.
So that's great. Great encouragement,
yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
The topic is much bigger than what we have time for in this conversation, especially the solutions. But Laura has laid out some really comprehensive protocols in her book. So if anyone is dealing with hormonal imbalances of whatever the variety may be, if you pick up the book, Period Repair Manual, it's really there. The protocols are there. The nutritional supports in whatever form they are, vitamins, minerals, herbs, it's all laid out. You did a really comprehensive job there, Laura. That's a big job.
Yeah, thank you. I tried to keep it simple. I tried to keep it simple too. What I don't want is for women to feel overwhelmed, or that this is going to be too hard. A lot of this is actually quite simple, and easier than you think. That's kind of the tagline for my book.
Yes.
Healthy period is easier than you think.
And because it's called getting healthy. And when you have to make changes, you have to change your diet, you have to find ways to manage your stress levels, you have to take, key nutrients that most of us get depleted in anyway, but more so when you're on something like the pill, and it's making the changes.
Yeah.
You have to change. You know, one of my favorite sayings when I was a psychotherapist was, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten.
That's
actually obvious, right?
I was going to say, one of my favorite Amazon reviews that I received in my book was a woman who said, she's like, oh, this is great. I had no idea that my diet affected my periods, that my diet could affect my periods. That's the state we're in. Like, we haven't, doctors have not communicated that to women, that this is, as you say, the period is an expression of health. Like in the book, I call it our monthly report card. So it means you can go back into your life, into your diet, make changes, and then see that manifest in better periods.
Yeah. So listen, there's so much to talk about, but I don't want to end the conversation without talking about natural birth control options, because we're concerned about the use of the pill, and many women are taking it for contraceptive purposes, not all, and it's become kind of a global panacea, quote unquote, by the medical profession. But what are your most recommended natural birth control options? And then I'm going to share with you something I found that you need to know about. So I'll let you go first.
Great. Oh, intriguing. Okay, good. So I guess number one is what's called fertility awareness method, which means understanding that a woman is fertile only 6 days per cycle. A man is fertile every day. A woman is fertile 6 days per cycle. And it is possible to know those 6 days. It requires some method of tracking with temperatures, understanding what that means. There is a new device called DAISY, which I always mention, which is a little computer which does that for you, which I like, I'm a fan of. So that's number one. And that means that when you know your fertile days, then you have to either abstain or use condoms or something else on the fertile days. So the second method is condoms, which have been around for a long time, but there are some better ones now, ones that fit properly, you know, ones made of better materials. So I talk about a couple of brand names in my book that hopefully guide couples to a reliable condom. Then there's a new diaphragm. A diaphragm is another barrier method, but one for women. And there's a new one called Kaya, which is a sort of a, you know, updated version of the diaphragm. There is.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, it's called C-A-Y-A.
C-A-Y-A.
There's also a cervical cap, which is similar to a diaphragm but smaller. So those are still good. You know, they're not. No method is perfect. So all of these methods have different efficacy rates. So, and I provide those in my book. There is also, I do always have to mention the copper IUD, which is the intrauterine device. It's non-hormonal. It doesn't affect hormones. It has definitely some pros and cons. I'm not a cheerleader for the IUD, but for what it's worth, you know, I do still think it's, for some women, it's a better choice than hormonal birth control because of all the things we talked about for the first part of our conversation. So those are the big ones. I'm curious. I'm definitely curious to hear your, what you've just discovered.
Okay.
Tell us.
So it's a, you have to look up the website Smart Women's Choice. Smart Women's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a product as a contraceptive option developed by a biochemist, Harvard-trained biochemist, who had a friend whose daughter died from the stroke, from blood clot from the pill. So she was really concerned.
Yep.
So she is European, came from Europe. Actually, she's 90 years old. She's 94 right now. This is like her legacy that she's desperately trying to get out. She keeps wanting the drug companies to trial it, and I tell her, you're going the wrong way. It'll never happen. So we need to do it through conversations like this. But she's created a product that's a gel, and it's formulated to all natural ingredients that traps the sperm before it's like they get – they get stuck in this stuff, and they can't make it up the fallopian tube. So it's safe, it's effective, it's not messy, non-toxic. But she's worked with about 1,000 or more women, and no one has gotten pregnant since using it.
Wow!
And it's a very clever concept. Do you like that?
Like
that concept?
Yeah, I love it. So it's called Smart.
She calls it Smart Woman's Choice.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's – I can't remember if it's woman or women, but that's the website, and that's the name of her product. And she's had it tested. They did a lab test in Israel, and they found it was absolutely 100% effective. So she has lots of evidence that has proven this option works as a contraceptive.
Right.
And it's so simple and natural and non-toxic.
Yeah.
And doesn't, you know, doesn't interfere with your own hormones. So you need to check it out, Laura, because it's something that may really help women. And, you know, it's really affordable. It's like, you know, $20 for 50 applications, something like that.
I'm going to check it out. And that just makes sense. That's one of my messages is, you know, it's 2018. I think we can come up with something better for birth control. And that is exactly the kind of thing I mean, like a technology, you know, a new technology that is non-invasive, non-harmful. That should be possible. I mean, we have self-driving cars. How can we not come up with a way to avoid pregnancy that does not involve shutting down the woman's entire hormonal system?
Well, I was excited when I found out about what she has been doing, and there's more research. And I know on a recent trip to Israel that she talked to some of the professors there and some of the labs, and they We definitely have the evidence. It's on her website. And yes, I
think
when we have something that is effective and without side effects, you know, easy.
Right.
So easy, safe, and effective. That's what we want. So
definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, there's some, you know, great options out there, great knowledge, and you're certainly doing a wonderful job spreading the word, empowering women, making them more responsible for their health, more knowledgeable, and providing solutions, because all of these hormonal issues cause so much suffering to women.
It's true.
Whether it's
true.
You know, so much suffering.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be a question of, okay, the pill is bad, so now you just have to suffer. That's not at all what we're saying. You know, that there are other options. They just have not been getting the attention they deserve because we had this, what we thought was an easy solution, and it turns out it was never a solution.
So working with a naturopath, working with an acupuncturist, working with a chiropractor, working with homeopathy, these are all modalities that I have personally used and I've had great success with, and of course referred other women to, you know, the many variations on whatever healing modality is best for each woman. Sometimes it is a chiropractor. Sometimes there is some compression on the nerves. Sometimes it's nutritional deficiencies. Sometimes acupuncture works with bringing balance to all those meridians and energy flows, or some combination of those, and maybe just a good massage to relax, you know? So, but these are the ways we need to go to restore balance and health. So, our hormones are a reflection of our health, and we need to wake up to that. So, you're doing just such a great mission here, Laura. I really appreciate all the hard work to get your message out there, and you know, thank you for joining us. We're kind of at the end.
Yeah.
Do you have like one last sentence you want to share with us? One last thought.
Oh, I did want to respond to what you said there about it being my mission. It is my mission. I feel like my mission is nothing short of actually changing everything about women's health, you know, completely how we see women's health from a whole other angle where we actually value women's hormones, which means valuing ovulation, and just inviting women again just to say it's not as complicated as maybe, you know, you've been led to believe by your doctor. It's actually quite easy and within reach for almost everyone.
Well, it's a great thought to end on. So
yeah.
For everyone listening, visit Laura's website, which is Laura Bryden, Laura, L-A-R-A, Bryden, B-R-I-D-E-N. Start there and pick up the Period Repair Manual to get all the just all the strategies, all the protocols.
Yeah.
It's great. So, Laura,
thank you
so much. Coming to us all the way from Christchurch, New Zealand. I really appreciate the work you're doing, and thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And to all of you, thank you for joining me today. And come back next week. Check out The Love Code, 6 p.m. on Thursday. You're really going to like that show. And until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.